Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chris Whittingham and Ira Winderman in for Joe Rose and Zach Kranz here on WQAM. Again, if you're just joining us, the United States has won the bid to host the 2026 World Cup.
United States and friends.
Right, yes, United States and friends, along with Canada and Mexico, which, by the way, we were talking about earlier. I don't know if they win without Canada and Mexico, because from a political standpoint, they have certainly helped, they're sort of assuage the difficulties they've had politically with other countries. But one of the actually cities that is going to be hosting the World Cup, there's 16 in America that are included in the bid book. Miami, one of them, is Houston. And we're joined now by someone who has spent a lot of time in Houston, is covering the Houston Texans, and Deshaun Watson's return right now. And that is Stefano Fusaro, reporter for ESPN, based out of Houston at the moment. Stefano, appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, of course, man. How you guys doing?
So is there World Cup fever in Houston as well?
There definitely was. I was actually here in Houston for the World Cup in 2014, and this city was alive, just like you would see Miami alive.
Yeah.
Just everywhere you go, bars, different watch parties. I live near an area of Houston called Midtown, and that place is just popping. Everywhere you go, there's a World Cup party. There's different themes, different nationalities. It's obviously a lot of very diverse city, kind of just like South Florida is. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of fever down here, up here for the World Cup.
And we'll get to the World Cup later on as well. Talk about your beloved Argentina. But let's talk some Houston Rockets first. I actually want to hit on Deshaun Watson a little bit. But some Houston Rockets first. Obviously, the conversation with them at the moment is what they would have to do to get LeBron James in. I feel like the machinations of that are almost impossible to pull off. Do you still feel like there's a sense of optimism around the Rockets that they can do it?
Look, Tiller Fertitta, the team owner, has been saying the right things as far as, his free agents are concerned, saying that they don't need – he hasn't been saying LeBron by name, obviously, because of the rules, but he's basically continued and maintained that they want the same team back, they want Capella back, that he'll go into the luxury tax even if it means – he'll sign Capella even if it does mean going into the luxury tax. He can say all that all he wants, and LeBron does – say, hey, I want to come to Houston. He's going to want to do whatever he has to do to get him there. Obviously, that means Capella would be gone. That means Trevor Ariza wouldn't be re-signed. There'd be a couple of, there'd be other moves that have to happen. Eric Gordon probably wouldn't be around. There is some optimism that he's considering Houston, at least, being that Chris Paul is his best friend and they're there. I think that the fact that all the reports out there that saying Chris Paul is already recruiting LeBron, I don't really believe all that, because I don't think he needs to recruit him. They're best friends. They talk all the time, and this I know. And you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need to really recruit him. If he wants to come here, he's going to talk to Chris Paul and say, hey, what do you think? This is what I want to do, and that's how it's going to go down.
Stefano, is there any downside to LeBron? I mean, his age and where the Rockets are and where they want to be at the identity they have. I remember last year when Chris Paul came in, the thought immediately was, there are two primary ball handlers. This will never work. Well, it worked all the way to the best record in the Western Conference and in the NBA and within a Game 7 against the Warriors. Is there any part of you, as someone who was embedded with the team during the playoffs, has been around him as much, that sort of steps back and says, you know what, LeBron might still be the best player in the game, but maybe not the perfect fit for what this team does, shooting three-pointers and where they want to go?
I mean, I think you can kind of look at it in a few ways, right? When LeBron came to Miami, he had obviously another ball-dominant guard like Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade kind of learned to play off the ball a little bit more. Can James Harden do that? I think that's the biggest question that you need to ask. Can James Harden learn how to play off the ball even more than he did, in certain moments last year when Chris Paul was doing his thing? It was really a lot about, we saw it. It was so much about ISO ball. That was really what they did and what they did well. So you had Chris Paul doing it one way, James Harden doing it another way. If you add LeBron to that mix, somebody else who needs the ball in his hands, who's going to create, how does James Harden move? How does he react to that? How does he is he able to play off the ball? Is he able to cut? We see that you know, when the ball's not in his hands, he's not really moving a whole lot on offense. So, you know, it's kind of, you have to kind of figure out if that's going to be possible. I don't know if it is. I don't know if James Harden has the same type of basketball IQ that Dwayne Wade had to realize, hey, I need to do this. This is how I need to play if I want to really make an impact. Now, as far as the three-point shooting, we know that LeBron needs to have shooters around him. They do have the shooters around him on the team, but how many of them would still be around in the game? So that's the issue.
And then I'm just curious, because we've been talking, obviously, for days. Everyone who has a chance to get LeBron is talking about their city first from the perspective of what will it take, what are the odds. Just as someone who also covers the NBA as a whole and covering the playoffs from sort of a greater perspective, what's your take on LeBron? In other words, I know you don't want to oversell Houston and sort of talk yourself into it. If you were a neutral person in neutral city USA, what do you think is going to happen with LeBron?
I mean, I just don't see him going. I mean, I don't see him coming to the West unless it's for something, you know, unless it's in L.A. or something. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, why, at this point in his career, why would he come to the Western Conference where he has to go through the Warriors and the Rockets, the two best teams in basketball, just to get to the finals? It just doesn't make sense to me. Does Philadelphia make the most sense? Maybe. There is some roster issues there that – you don't know who could still be around, what shooters they can surround him around, especially when we have a Ben Simmons that, you know, doesn't shoot pretty much anywhere outside the paint. So I do think Philadelphia would make the most sense just because they're in the Eastern Conference and they have an up-and-coming squad that can extend his career, but they do have to have shooting around him, and I don't know how much of that would be left. I don't think there really is a clear-cut option for him that says, okay, this will be the greatest situation moving forward. There's going to be a lot of moves that either any of the teams are going to have to make to really adjust to him and to his playing style.
Stefano Fusaro joining us here on WQAM, reporter for ESPN based out of Houston. Do you feel like, though, that if Daryl Morey decided, okay, we missed out on LeBron, we couldn't figure out a way to make that work, and they just ran it back, they re-signed Capella, and maybe they got one or two sort of low-price free agents, do you feel like they would feel that that's good enough? What feeling did they leave that series against Golden State with, that they're not far away?
Definitely. I mean, you heard Mike D'Antoni, and he was just, in his, you know, in his exit interview, in his exit press conference, he was very, very adamant about the fact that, you know, they were very close, and that, you know, famously he went up to Kevin Durant after the series was over and told him, congratulations, but if Chris Paul would have been around, we would have won this series. We would have won this series in seven. And, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agree with him, but it would have been a definite possibility. I mean, the way that they were playing, the way that he was playing, specific Chris Paul in that series, you'd have to think that, yeah, they had a chance. Tillman Fertitta has continued to say that, yeah, they want this team back because they're so close. So they're confident that with that team playing a little better and staying healthy, they could definitely have a shot at the Warriors. I mean, guys, it got up to Game 7, and, you know, anything could have happened in a Game 7 with a healthy Houston Rocket team.
And then, obviously, because you're emerging as a potential city of champions, we've already seen it in baseball, but I have a football question for you. You have such a dynamic young quarterback on the team there. You obviously are going to get one of the preeminent defensive players in the NFL back. What's the optimism, number one, regarding the upcoming season? And what's the optimism there as far as quarterback growth and potential? Will they just pick up from where they left off before the injury?
I think so. They're not trying to. We were at minicamp yesterday. I'll be there a little later today as well. They are not trying to hold him back. They're not trying to hold Deshaun Watson back at any point this season. They want to open up the playbook. They want him to be aggressive when he needs to. Now, of course, the Texans quarterback's coach, Sean Ryan, told us that he definitely has to have that conversation with Deshaun, about knowing when to take the risk, when to come out of the pocket, and when to go down to protect not only himself, but really the franchise. And there is optimism because, hey, if this team stays healthy last year, you know, they didn't win a game after Deshaun Watson went down.
Right.
I'm going to have somebody out here trying to cut the grass.
We've all been there.
But anyway, yeah, so there is definitely some optimism as far as the Texans are concerned. They didn't win a game after Deshaun went down last year. And, you know, they had J.J. Watt go down. They had Whitney Mercilus go down. They had injuries all over the field on both sides of the ball. So if they stay healthy, I mean, it was funny. I was talking to some of my producers. Mm-hmm. I covered the Cowboys last year a ton when I was staying in Dallas.
Right.
Now that I'm here, you know, I was still expected to go up to Dallas to cover some of the Cowboys stuff. But in reality, if this team stays healthy, they should be better than the Cowboys. It should be one of the top teams, at least definitely in the AFC South, if not, you know, in the AFC, period. If they could stay healthy, they'll be a dangerous squad for sure.
Well, I want to take it a little further into Deshaun Watson because I think he has the possibility of being a breakout star for years to come. And even in the limited view we got of him, I think he is much more of an NFL prospect than I might have originally thought coming out of college, and they certainly hit on that. Do you see greatness? Do you see where I was curious before whether it be more Manziel-like and flash in the pan and run and throw quarterback? Is there someone you see? Is that a player you see in Deshaun Watson as being emerging into the elite level and not just being sort of the two-way quarterback, but a unique generational quarterback?
I think a lot of people didn't know just how good of an arm he had. And I think we saw it early on last year. That combination between him and DeAndre Hopkins and him and Will Fuller really kind of showed what he can do as long as he has protection. That offensive line was pretty awful last year, and he was still able to do what he did in seven games and really was on pace for a historic rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been a rookie of the year for sure had he continued to stay, had he continued on pace and continued to stay healthy. I do think so. I do think that we're seeing a quarterback that, if healthy, can definitely become an elite quarterback in this league. And he does have the weapons around him already. You know, a lot of the weapons around him already. Maybe, you know, they could use another tight end. That could be something that they would do in the future. But he definitely has the wide receivers. He definitely has, you know, the backfield to be able to do it. He has elite talent. Now, whether he stays healthy, like, you know, with all of these dual threat quarterbacks, that's the big question. You know, whether he becomes an RG3 that mm-hmm. continues to get injured, or whether he does stay healthy and really could be an elite quarterback. He has the talent, that's for sure. And the Texans are super excited about him. That's no doubt.
Stefano Fusaro joining us here on WQAM, reporter for ESPN, mainly based out of Houston. On the way out for you, Stefano, I am going to upset you right now because I'm going to say,
I know what you're
going to
say,
that Argentina is going to go out of the group stage.
Man, come on. Come on, man. Come on, man. Look, I'll be honest with you. I don't have a lot of confidence with this Argentina squad. You know that that's like the one team that still will bring me to tears at this point
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah.
There's no other team that I root for that will make me that upset when they do lose. But look, I'm not confident in this squad. I do think they'll make it out of the group stage. Nigeria has historically given them some issues, but at the end of the day, they've had beaten them over several World Cups. Nigeria has been in their group about, I think it's like four straight World Cups or three of the last four World Cups. But they've given them some trouble. But if they can, I think they'll make it out. I'm not confident that they'll get past the quarterfinals. Look, the attacking options are, you know, they have plenty of attacking
Ridiculous.
Options. We know this already. Mm-hmm. Messi, Aguero, Higuain, Dybala, they have those guys. But the midfield is old. They've had plenty of injuries already throughout this first couple weeks, just after the season ended and getting ready for the World Cup. They've had Lanzini go down. It's bad.
Sergio Romero, too, in goal.
It's just a big – I think they have too many issues. Now, the one thing that, you know, we can bank on and you can hope for if you're an Argentina fan is that you got Messi on your squad.
Yeah.
Yes, he hasn't been the greatest with Argentina, but if he can have a magical World Cup, you know, they could make some noise. But, yeah, I'm not very confident.
Who do you think is going to win it then?
I've been going back and forth, but I think I'm going to have to go with France.
Really? Interesting.
Choke. I think top to bottom, A to Z, I think they are the most talented squad
mm-hmm.
in the World Cup. Now, whether they can win is a whole different story, whether they don't choke like they have in the past, like they did in their own Euro Cup in 2016, in their own country, in the final against Portugal. So I do think that they're the most talented squad. I'm kind of cautious about that pick, but I'm going to stick with it because mm-hmm. I think they're the most talented squad.
I agree with you. I mean, the guys they bring off the bench are just ridiculous.
They're by far
the most talented team. But again, for me, Argentina, France are kind of in the same group for me, which is teams with talented players that don't have really a cohesion or a team right. ability that I feel like is good enough to win the World Cup. But we'll find out. It starts tomorrow. Russia taking on Saudi Arabia. Stefano Fusaro covering the Houston Texans. Pistons, the Houston Rockets, and various other things for ESPN.
And cutting the grass, apparently, also. Thank you, Stefano.
Twitter, at Fusaro ESPN. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right,
thank
you. Is Stefano Fusaro joining us here on WQAM. We'll round things out next here on The Q.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.